Amen? Do you buy? You got to buy into this. When I say that, you've got to just lay stuff down and just really center your faith in what you're doing, because God sure does, and He joins you. All right. Well, we've got a few minutes left here. And I just heard you go, oh, thank you. Thank you. So, John, leave already? Well, we didn't even fire up the sacrifice bowl yet. let's just start off with our weekly confession, and let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. This word is God speaking to me. Boy, I'll tell you, that's powerful. When you come home from work, or what, if you have a few minutes, and you open up your Bible, you should read a chapter a day, at least. And just before you do that, just go through that confession. We've got those bookmarks that are free, and you can take them, and it's got the weekly confession right on it, and it starts acclimating your mind. When you say things, that's what confession is all about. When you say things, I think I've got to go into the mechanics of that again. Because when you say something, it's registered on your heart. It's just, that's the way we were made. You have an inner ear and an outer ear. And when you speak, your inner ear takes those words and puts them down in your heart. And that seed becomes rooted and grounded and starts to reproduce after its own kind. See, your inner ear, you ever hear yourself the first time you ever did a recording? And your voice, I remember so clearly, 8 or 9 years old, and we recorded. So my father brought home one of those reel-to-reels, and we recorded some stuff. And then it got to my voice. I heard my sister, my brother, my father, my mother. And when it got to my voice, I said, who's that? I did not recognize it. Because you hear yourself with your inner ear, and when you hear it with your outer ear, it sounds totally different. Well, your inner ear, that's the ear of your heart. And it takes the word of God and puts it down there. And you have a whole lot more word in you than you understand. Start speaking it. And it'll just yarn its way out. And it'll start working for you. Amen. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Sorry we scared John away. He had to go to work?
He's still here.
Oh, okay. I love new first-time visitors. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of what? Christ, the anointed one and his anointing." You can't be ashamed of the anointing that's in you. "For it is the power of God." It just doesn't have power. "It is the power of God unto salvation." Here he is. It is the power of God. God just wants to have a good time with us today. "For it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone who does what?" Man, Dwight's word this morning, if you only believe. If you only believe. I wrote a song like that one time. I'm not ashamed. This word ashamed means you're embarrassed. It means you're afraid. It's timidity. It's don't be ashamed of the gospel. How many times have we shrunk back when we're in polite society? Polite society and so forth. And there's a problem there. Somebody talks about a big problem. How many of you said, you know what? Come here. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Let me pray for you. And I think that I think God has the answer for you and he'll speak to you. How many of you have done that? We're all guilty. We've shrunk away from those things. You know, if you give God everything to God in prayer, then you won't forfeit anything. You won't be ashamed of the gospel. Then not only that, they'll know where to come. You know, my family, when I got saved, my sister especially treated us real cool, and so did Lori's family. A lot of her family did too. Treated us real cool. But when something happened, like somebody drove under a semi, they knew where to come for prayer. And we hit the ground and we prayed and we get things done. Why? Because we're so great? Because he is. He's just that good. Amen? He is just that good. Doesn't matter where you've been. Did the father ask the prodigal son, now where have you been? Have you learned your lesson? Have you done this? No, he just put his arms around him and welcome home. Yeah. There's no condemnation in Christ. There's no finger pointing at him. There's total acceptance. Praise God. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That word salvation is an all-inclusive word. It means healing, health, preservation, soundness, protection, deliverance. It's an all-inclusive word, and you can apply this. So if you have an area of your life that needs to be touched, you have the gospel. You have the power of God in the gospel. It's the power of God unto deliverance from that, unto salvation from that, unto all of these. For therein, see, it's not only the power of God, it's the revelation of the righteousness of God. And more importantly than that, it is the revelation of the righteousness of God in you. More important than that is that you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. How much righteousness is that? The righteousness. There's only one kind. You have been made. Say this. I am made the righteousness of God in Christ. Period. The devil say, oh, well, what about this, devil? Point to the word. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. Let that revelation just permeate you. Let it grow bigger than your thoughts. Let it grow bigger than your opinions. Let it grow bigger than your anything in your life. Let it grow bigger than your past. Let it grow bigger. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from heaven from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. Think about that. 7,000 promises in the Bible. That's more than you and I. Well, I don't want to limit us. We talked about limiting God and limiting our faith, whatever. But that's more than we could probably use in our whole life. In fact, if you had a promise fulfilled every single day, a different one, then it would take 20 years to have 7,000 promises fulfilled in your life. You guys there today? Yeah. Okay, so am I. What's that? Right, no math, okay. I'm doing the math for you. But you can check my numbers. Actually, I think it's like 19 and a quarter years. But why so many promises? I couldn't ever use all of those promises in my life. Why so many promises? Well, that's the point. because he's the God who's more than enough. That's what El Shaddai means. The many-breasted one, it's like a Hebrew word meaning, what do you need? P.C. Nelson said, he told Kenneth Hagin this one time, and P.C. Nelson was a brilliant scholar. 26 languages he spoke fluently, including Greek and Hebrew. And he wrote a lot of the doctrine, the church doctrine and so forth, but a spirit-filled dynamo of a man. Spoke 26 languages fluently. That beats me by 26. So there's a lot of people that would agree with me there. So, but he told Kenneth Hagin, he said, here's what El Shaddai means. He said, if you go into the original language and you understand how they're trying to convey the eternal God in this one name, it's this. I've given you everything. I will meet all your needs. And he said, if I don't have it, if you encounter a need that I haven't made a provision for, I'll make it for you. Why? Because he's the God of more than enough. It's an endless, it's his extravagance. It's the cup that continues to run over. Think about it this way. Look at the sun in the center of our solar system, okay? Light and heat come from that sun in every imaginable direction. There's only a little tiny sliver of that light and heat that we can actually use. The rest of it is just a supply of his abundance. Isn't that wonderful? There's more than enough mercy. There's more than enough grace. There's more than enough faith. There's more than enough love. There's more than enough of anything we need. And he comes with his name, with the promise, if there's anything else you need that I haven't made, I'll make it for you. Amen. He's the God of the full supply. That means, look, I mean, think about God. There's no beginning or end to him. There's no limit to him. The height, the way, the breadth, the depth of God. And the Bible says in Ephesians 3 that if we're rooted and grounded in love, we will know God. That God. The limitless God. The endless God. The reservoirs of salvation, the reservoirs of life. I came across something the other day in Micah chapter 4 that says, it calls Jesus the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N. You ever see that before? Let's go. Did I give that to you, Micah 4? I think it's verse 2. But he's called the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N. It's the same word that's translated the sun, like the sun and the moon in other places. But he calls him the Son of Righteousness just for that illustration, to show that our life should be revolving around the endless source, the unlimited source of Jesus Christ. Because if you want to know who the Father is, just look at Jesus. Everything that Jesus is, the Father is. He was God manifest in the flesh. Amen. And he's something else. Oh, praise God. And you know, with all of that power, with all of that, we had an ant thing in our kitchen. It's called, what are they called? Sugar ants. Excuse me. And these little tiny ants, these things are so small. God made them. And not only that, but he knows their thoughts. He knows what they're going through. You know, and they work like an army, these people. I mean, they would put the body of Christ to shame, these ants. As far as their unity and their organization, their skill sets and their dedication to it. I'm telling you something. You can learn a lot from them. But look at this. The cup running over. Think of this. Think of all the, in the Old Testament, that here are the children of Israel in bondage. God does these amazing displays of miracles. Actually, judgments on Egypt. And then darkness covered the land, but there was light shining in the land of Goshen, in their houses, in their dwellings. You see, I don't care how dark it is out there. You don't it doesn't have to affect you because there's light in your dwelling. Ooh, isn't that good? There's light in your dwelling. It says there was light in the dwellings of the children of Israel. Now, we have a far superior covenant than they had. Far better promises than they had. There is no reason why we would have to succumb to the darkness of this world, that we would have to start thinking like this world, that we'd have to start coming in agreement with the corruption that's in our government, the corruption that's in our courts, the corruption that's in our schools, the corrupt boards of education, the corrupt, you know, and it just goes on. It's endless. There's corruption in law enforcement, in the FBI, in the CIA, in all the Department of Justice, totally corrupted. So, look at this. Here are the children of Israel in bondage. And God took them out and mobilized them towards what? Where was he going to bring them? The promised land. He mobilized them for that. Now you can look at this. He did all this for a reason. He got them out of Egypt. He got them to the Red Sea. The Red Sea opened up and they walked across it. It closed on their enemies. Some thoughts started coming to me, and I know that they were from God. When the Red Sea, they passed through, that could be, this is a type, because when they were delivered, when that sea closed on their enemies, they were forever separated from Pharaoh, from his armies, from the taskmasters, from slavery, from bondage, from everything, everything that they had gone through for the last couple hundred years as slaves, because for the first couple of hundred years that they were there, things were good. Then they started getting into bondage and slavery. Well, the thing is, when you were born again, this gives us a real good picture. When you were born again, you were just as free from the devil and his minions and his power and his lies and his deception as the children of Israel were when they were delivered forever from Pharaoh. He couldn't even get to them. The devil can't get to you either. The trouble is that the children of Israel didn't know it. They didn't know they were free, much like us. When we get born again, we're always questioning. We're kind of, it's like we're feeling our way to say, I want to make sure. I remember I was saved and I knew I was saved, yet I would hear Pat Robertson pray that sinner prayer on 700 Club every day, and I'd pray it again, just to make sure. You know what I mean? Because we're all like that. But put that away, because you are free from the devil, from his demons, from his plots and agendas. You're, in fact, even more so than they were free, because you have something they didn't have. You have the new birth. You have the recreation of the human spirit. They didn't have that. That is the Spirit of Christ that is in you, that is one with the Father, that knows the leading and calling and voice of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That is built on a covenant of the Father's very own blood. And that blood there's three that bear witness in the earth, the blood, the Spirit, and the Word. They all go together so that every time you speak the Word of God, cleansing comes, power comes, a voice of the Good Shepherd is released to do more work, more seed sowing, more convincing. Yeah. Amen?
Thank you, Lord.
This is rich. This is tall cotton today. So when you're born again, you were forever separated from Satan, judgment, sin, sickness, demons, and fear. That doesn't mean you're not going to experience problems or anything. That doesn't mean you're not going to experience things. But the difference is, you have the power to get rid of it. You have the power to rise up and say, no, you don't. No! You know, Brother Jerry Savelle just went to be with the Lord last week. And sweet ministry, sweet man of God. And he had the skin of a rhino. I mean, he just went in there and went out and did what God called him to do. From this point on, he made his decision. From this point on, I'm going to do exactly what God wants me to do. You know what he wants on his gravestone? I have finished my course. I have run my race. There is now laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I'm telling you, that's not just for Paul. That's for anybody who will simply be a doer of the word. You know, you can look at it this way. That Red Sea is almost, it represents the birth canal of the new, all this points towards the New Testament. All of this points towards what God was about to do with the new birth. And that when it closed, they were free. What does Ephesians 5:26 say? It says that we are sanctified, set apart by the washing of the water, by the word, the Red Sea, the waters that they went through. It was like a baptism, but they went out through the waters. And when they came out, their enemy was judged. The Bible says that we too are the seed of Abraham in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. It says that, so they say, well, that was for the Jews. No. We are Jews. The Jews. Through Christ. We are the new man. There are Christian, there are Gentiles, there are Jews. But now, through Christ, we are one new man. And we're a better man. Because we're not just man. We are not just mere men anymore. We have the divine nature on the inside of us. And we are partakers of the divine nature, it says in 2 Peter 3, verse 4. Yeah, I think. You guys can write this down and keep me accountable too. I'm sorry, is this a little too elementary for you? Because I'm telling you what, if you don't want to hear it, I'll preach it to myself, because I need this stuff all the time. I need to be reminded of how faithful God is, how powerful he is, how strong he is, how loving and kind he is, and that whatever I go through, he can get me out of it. He can pay me back for the things that I've lost, that the devil has ripped off. And in fact, it says, if the devil be found, if the thief be found, he shall restore to me sevenfold of whatever he stole. So I'm releasing my words into his house and let God go after it and get it back to me. That's the way. Well, you can't lose. You can't lose for trying. I mean, really. God has got a plan for you. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. It's the revelation of his righteousness. And this all has to do with identity. Whoops. That's what we're going to do next month. Our identity in Christ. We're going to look at that thing until we can go out of here and know who we are in Christ, who he is in us, who the Father is in us. Jesus said, me and the Father will come and dwell in you. And the Spirit of God, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we're going to go into everything and make it plain and clear. And we'll get clear, flooded with light. Flooded with light. How's that? Turn with me to Psalms chapter 119. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Psalms 119 and verse 89. What does it say? Forever, O Lord, thy word is what? Settled in heaven. When God speaks a promise, it's settled. As when God speaks, in fact, in 2 Corinthians 1:20, let's go there. 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, for all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are what? Well, maybe if you're good enough. Maybe if you're mature enough. Maybe if you're ready. Maybe. What? It says, all the promises of God in him are yes. He's already released them into the new covenant. There are already provisions there for you to tap into. And in him, what? Amen. Unto the glory of God by us. You know, I want to word this properly, but because some people get, you have a lot to do. God doesn't force his will on anybody, does he? There was one no. God doesn't force his will on anybody, does he? Does he force his promises on anybody? Does he force his ways on anybody? No, you, by us, you take that word. This is why he gave you the word, so that you could know his will and be absolutely confident in it, and so that you can know the provisions that are there for you, so that you can know the thing. And he gave you this. Not only did he give you his word, he gave you the author of the word to live inside of you and to speak it to you and to teach it to you and to reveal it to you and to show you things to come. In other words, he'll show you, if you do this, then look, walk in faith, not by sight. Just take the word, use it as a compass, use it as your director. All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now let's go back to Psalm 119. This is what it means. When his word is forever settled in heaven, once God speaks something, he cannot take it back. It cannot be altered. It cannot be annulled. It cannot dissipate in its power. It cannot, it's as full of power 10,000 years from now as it was when it was first spoken. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So when you take his word, his promise, it's settled in heaven. It's written here in the earth. There's an agreement. When you start agreeing with that word that is settled forever in heaven, I'm telling you something. You are establishing an agreement with something that is eternal in its power, in its scope, in its ability, in its depth, in its supply, in its present, in his presence. Everything is in his word. The word is God. You see what I mean? The word is God. And when you agree with that word that is settled forever in heaven, here on the earth it releases its power in your spirit. And when it comes out of your mouth, it'll be power to them. And it's the power of God unto salvation. And it's the promise that he promised Abraham, that he promised Adam in the garden. He said he's coming and he'll kick in his head. And that released his will. And it took 4,000 years for Jesus to get here. But he got here. And he did a job. And when that power was released, when he was raised from the dead, in fulfilling of all of God's promises, it released enough power to go back and undo all the works of the devil all the way back to Adam and all the way forward to the last person who would ever be born. It's eternal. You're dealing with something that is so lit up with love, so lit up with acceptance, so lit up. What's the big deal about the promises of God? When you have a need in your life, find it, find the provision, the promise that concern in the Bible, and start praying it, start building it into your heart, start renewing your mind with it until it starts talking to you, until that's all you can see. You can't see the problem because your eyes are so full, your inner eyes, the eyes of your understanding are so filled with that provision that the need just... it peters out. Amen. Runs out of oil and the crankcase just freezes. But God's anointing is there. And now you're waiting. How can we do? And then it starts to get fun. And then the next need comes, and the next promise is fulfilled, and the next one, next one. And it becomes your way of life.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
then you're going to want that 7001. Yes. You're going to want more than it's there because God said it would be.
Yes.
I have a testimony here too. This I'm reminded. See, what it is, it's acting like the Word of God is true. That's all it is. You're acting like the Word of God is true. When I got saved, I got out of rock bands. That may come as shock to you, some of you, that I was in a rock band. But I got out of that, and I was driving a cab to get my head screwed on. You know, just to get out of that and just to get doing something else and meeting people. I mean, you meet, you want to meet some, you know, doozies. That's good. Drive a cab. In fact, Jolene's husband does a Uber. And I imagine he has some stories, too. One day, I'm down at the Park Plaza Hotel in New Haven, and my cab is just there. Just drop somebody off. And you stay there until the radio and tell you to go next place. Well, a woman gets in my cab. She gets in the back seat. And I was about 26, 7 years old, something like that at the time. And she said, get me to Yale New Haven Hospital. My father is dying. Hurry. I could tell she was Jewish. And I said, I turned around and said, lady, do you know he is healed? She said, what? I said, well, you're a Jew, right? She said, yes. I said, you believe the prophets, right? She said, yes. He was a little quieter. I said, well, Isaiah said he's healed. She said, I don't understand what you're saying. See, they skip Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 in their readings every year in the synagogues. They don't even go there because they don't know what to do with it because it is so descriptive of Jesus. So they leave it out. So I opened it and I showed it to her. I said, look, surely he, this is pointing to Jesus now. He's a Jew. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And I showed her that by his stripes, we are healed. So that's why I say, do you know he is healed? She says, I've never heard this before. I said, look, and I'm driving now, and I come up to Yale New Haven Hospital, the front entrance, and I say, look, here's what you do. Go stand next to his bed. It doesn't matter if he's conscious or unconscious. And you tell him this, a born-again Christian told me that you're healed, that you can get up. I wrote down my name and my phone number, and I gave it to her. Never heard from her again. Never heard from her. My brother and I had an apartment together in North Haven, Connecticut. And I came home from work one day, and my brother's on the phone, and he's just hanging it up. This is a year after that incident with the lady. He hung up. And he looked at me. He said, wow, you're not going to believe this. And I said, what? I just got off the phone with Dad. Now, we were praying for my dad for his salvation. And I just got off the phone with Dad. He got a strange phone call from this woman. And because he puts these ads in the paper. He was a general manager for New York Life at the time. And he said, we've never had a layoff. We've never did that. If you want a career, call me Bob Totten at the number. She saw the ad. This woman saw the ad. She lost my number. She saw the ad and she said, I got to call him to see if maybe he's related. She called him. She said, do you know a Tom Totten who drives a cab? And he's thinking like, oh, dear, what did he do? It's like, oh, gee, I don't want to hear this. He said, yes. And she said, I'm going to tell you an interesting story. He picked me up on a cab ride. I told him to get me to Yale New Haven Hospital. My father was dying. And he told me my father was healed. He showed me scriptures that told me that he was healed. And so I went and did what he said to do. I went next to my father's bed. And I said, a born-again Christian says you're healed to get up out of bed. And he said, Really? He said, yeah, I lost his number and I couldn't get a hold of him. He was totally healed. See, when you do what God tells you to do, it's, look, you're pretending, it's not even pretending, you are acting on the word of God, and in that action you are declaring that God is faithful to fulfill his word. Amen. You're declaring that it's an act of believing in his integrity to fulfill his word. Now, back to my father. He said to my brother, he said, this is unbelievable. Yeah. He said, well, try me. So my dad said, and tells him the story and everything. And at the next time the Full Gospel Businessmen's met at Valley Steakhouse, there was a guy who was from New York Life who got saved, who was preaching at that Full Gospel Businessmen, and my father went forward and received the Lord. What did I do? I turned around and said, lady, see, I had been listening to Kenneth Hagin on my tape all day, and I am so filled with faith, and I'm charged, really. And you hear this stuff, my father's dying, it's like, you got the answer right here. Speak it. The spirit of faith speaks. Amen. And it's so easy, because he did the rest. He got my dad saved. And his life took a marked turn from that point on. It was just wonderful. Praise God. You do because he said his promises are as good as his word. And his word is as good as he is. It is good as the eternal light that will never dim, that will never fade, that will never fail. And it will continue and continue and continue until he gets his result. He will never, ever quit. Ever.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Say that. Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, volunteers. You are valued and treasured more than you know. More than we can express to you our thanks for you. See, we take for granted that those graphics are up there. And look at Stephen, John by the soundboard, the volunteers in KPA, the volunteers, the ushers, the greeters and everything. When somebody's come into the door and they may be going through something, one thing's for sure, they're going to meet a friendly face. And they're going to know when they leave here that they are appreciated, they are loved, and they are prayed for. It's powerful. It's powerful. Okay. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your testimonies that are in your word to give us a path to run on, a path that is sure and true, a path that we can count on because we know that you're faithful. We know that you're almighty God. Thank you, Lord. If you have a need for anything else, I want you to come up here. I want to lay hands on you and pray. No matter how big it is, no matter how minute it may be, I want you to come up here. I'll pray for you. You are dismissed. If you would please join us in the cafe for some fellowship. That's what this whole thing is about. It's about fellowship. The Apostle John said, these things we declare unto you that you may have fellowship with us, because our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus. Lunch! Lunch is much better at TLC.